So today I'm going to talk about the man and his identity. What did I call it? The man and his identity. Now, we are interesting enough. I'm going to start this from the words of a devil, but recorded in the scriptures. Let's begin from the book of Acts, chapter 19. One of the most important things you do for yourself in life is to get to know your own identity. Because it's as you understand your identity that the heavens, all right, the spiritual realm responds to your identity, and then the earth feels the impact of your presence. The book of Acts chapter 19, the story here is what we all have heard before, I'm sure, about the people that tried to cast out demons using the name of Jesus. The Bible says from verse 13, but also some of the Jewish exorcists. Now, this is after it has been described what God used to do in the life of Paul. In Acts 19, verse 13, that also some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place attempted to name over those who had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. That is, they were trying to use the name of Jesus, all right, to cast out demons. In verse 14, the Bible says that seven sons of one Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And the evil spirits, that is, they were attempting it at a particular point in time, and the evil spirit they were trying to cast out answered and said to them, I recognize Jesus, and I know about Paul, but who are you? Do something for me. Turn to somebody beside you and say, who are you? Turn to somebody again beside you and say, who are you? Now, I want you to ask yourself, who am I? It's a very important question. There's a movie by Jackie Chan. Who am I? Who am I? And they thought he was saying that his name was, who am I? Who am I? Anyway, it's a question you have to ask yourself, who am I? Now, I've lifted it from here, and it's interesting because it's the words of an evil spirit that we are using, or as a pivot for developing this teaching on the man and his identity. Because one thing you will notice through the scriptures, in fact, especially the letters of Paul, that's what I wanted to use initially. Paul always identified himself when he want to start his teaching. He will say, this is who I am, Paul, an apostle. He will tell you, Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ. He always identified who he was and who it was he was writing to the church in Corinth, called as saints. That is, he identified the fact that he was speaking to people who were believers in Christ Jesus. Is that okay? Now, that is important. Anytime you want to, when you write a letter, you must put your, all right, name at the bottom so somebody will know who is writing. And at the beginning, you put the name of the person you are writing to. I like the way officials' letters are. They'll tell you, let's say, Dr. ABCZ, the chief medical director, as an example. ABC and Z Hospitals International Limited, you know what I'm saying? And then you identify the person before you begin to write, all right? Because that way it will form the kind of words, it will decide the kind of words that you will use in your letter. Is that all right? And when you finish, you identify yourself. Now, very, very important, you know, because life, identity in life is one of the most important things you can do for yourself to recognize your own identity. And listen to this, if you don't know who you are, all right, nobody, all right, will identify you for you the way you like or the way you are supposed to be. You must be the one to dictate for them what God has made you to be. As we go on, I will explain why the different sources of identity and the one that is important for us to hold on to. Now, let's look at this scripture again, this book of Acts chapter 19. Here, I want you to see an expression there. If you have the King James Bible, you'll see in verse 15, Paul I know, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. But if you notice, I'm reading from the New American Standard, and he explains that Jesus I recognize. Do you understand? I am personally acquainted with him. I know what he constitutes. I know what he reflects. I know the character of his person. And then, but concerning Paul, I have heard about him. That's why he said, Paul I know, but Jesus I recognize. I've heard about this man who has gone around doing things in the kingdom of darkness. He cast out the other day one of my cousins who was inhabiting one woman somewhere else. Do you understand my point? And my cousin came home and explained to us why he was now homeless. And he said the name was who? Paul. Now, but the important thing here is that he recognized the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? He recognized. He knew that this was a person who defeated death, hell, and the grave. He knew that this was a person who removed the powers from the hands of the devil. Alright? Now, Paul recognized who he was in Christ Jesus. And that was why he was able to go around doing the same works that Jesus did. So much that his fame spread, alright, in the kingdom of darkness. What this devil was saying here is that, I may not have met Paul personally, but I've heard his fame. Are you getting my point? What I'm giving is a correct analysis of the scriptures there. If you read in King James, you just say, Paul, I know. And Jesus, I know. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But actually what he said is what New American Standard tried to distinguish between the two words. Paul, Jesus, I recognize. Paul, I know about. If you read a Bible like New Living Translation or Good News Bible, he uses those two words also. They'll say, he will say, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know about. That's how he said it. Then what I'm going to bring out here is this. Jesus has a personality in the realm of the spirit, okay, that this evil spirit recognized. And Paul now recognized the person that he was. And because of his recognition of himself, he was able to affect the kingdom of darkness in such a manner that his gist spread around amongst them. What am I trying to explain? That you, as a child of God, you must know the person that you are. If you are going to affect the earth for God, if the devils will know your name. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. I want to establish today. This issue of the matter of identity. Please, this is important. Because you see, when it came to Jesus Christ also, the Father will always identify him for people. The day he showed up for baptism, the Holy Spirit showed up, landed upon him, and the Father said something from the heavens, and John the Baptist heard it. He said, "This is my beloved Son." What did he say? "This is my beloved Son." There was something that happened that made him get to a point where he had a particular kind of character, and then God gave a stamp, all right, of approval upon his personality, and gave him a personality for everybody else to listen to. So he said to the disciples later on, that's in Matthew chapter 19, he said, "Therefore, listen to him." There's a reason why I'm saying this. Because I have discovered, in fact, this is where the whole thing came from. I noticed that a lot of people in life, because there are two levels to this matter of identity. Now, listen to this. First, there is a spiritual and most important level. Do you understand the point? There is a spiritual and most important level. That is, there are two levels. There is a spiritual level, and then there is a physical or the earthly realm. Okay? The level in the realm of the spirit is the most important one. The one in the earth, alright? I will use it to explain some things, but there is secondary to that which is the realm of the spirit. But I want to start from that to just explain a few points to all of us so we can understand. Now, I'm going to talk about profession. I first heard somebody say this long time. Because when you hear things, it's later on, as you're getting more understanding, that you get to remember that I heard this thing once, and this was what the person was saying. I went for a crusade in which the late Archbishop Benson Idahosa was the one preaching. And he was telling the story about one of the people that Jesus, I think, was either blind Bartimaeus or one of them. But anyway, he made a point that the man was described as a beggar. Now, he now from that began to explain the issue that being a beggar was what he was known for, and he was recognized by it. Therefore, he was explaining something that whatever it is that you do in life, now it went from a very low level, but it brought up to a high level, and said, whatever it is that you are doing in life, be known by it. Let me start from there. Then we'll go down to the more important, the spiritual level. Listen to this. If you want to succeed in life as a child of God, first thing you do is establish an identity for yourself. I don't mean you just go ahead and establish anyhow identity. We'll discuss here and there. You know, I said something to you before. When we make statements, there are things that are implicit in those statements. We've talked about the will of God, all right? That is, a child of God should first try to identify what God wants him to be, what God created him to be, and be known by it. Every time Paul will start introducing himself, look at all the letters of Paul. In fact, do we need to just quickly open to the book of Romans chapter 1, just as an example. From verse 1, he said, "Paul, a bond servant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Then he described the gospel of God, all right? And then he went ahead to describe those he was writing to. Now, quickly, open again to the book of the next book. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I just wanted to see something we all know. Just want to read it. It said from verse 1 again, Paul, called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. That's the way he always introduced himself. I'm not going to read beyond that. I just want to bring out those issues. You see that every time Paul wants to write, he will first identify himself. He was known as an apostle. Do you understand my point? In life, if you want to succeed, the first things you will do for yourself in the earlier parts of your adulthood, all right, is to identify what exactly you are on the natural plane. It is not good to be known as a hustler. Do you hear what I said? What does he do? Anything. It's a very stupid identity. General contractor. Obviously, you don't know what you are doing. It is obvious you don't know what you are doing. Humanly speaking, the richest man in the world currently, I don't know whether you know, it keeps us oscillating. But usually Bill Gates ranks between number one and number three. In recent years, I can't remember him dropping to number four. All right? Usually moves like that. But anytime the name Bill Gates comes to your head, instantly, you remember software. You may like him or not like him, but what comes to your mind first is a matter of what? Software development. Windows, Microsoft Office. You know about software. The moment the name comes to your head, you talk about Dell, your mind goes somewhere instantly. All right? Even in Nigeria, all right, there are names you hear. If you hear names like Dangote, that's where your name goes, your mind goes to instantly. When you mention the name Julius Berger, you know, it doesn't cross your mind that they are doing stock trading. So you want to buy stocks, you go and meet Julius Berger, they'll help you select the best of them. Instantly, each name has what? An identity. And that's the first thing you must do for yourself in life. I say it all the time. You know, I gave an illustration with this one last time. As a young medical student, I was being taught in school how to interview patients. We call it clerking patients. One of the questions you had to ask was where the person worked, or the occupation or profession. And then we'll say civil servant for some people. And I remember very well they would call it that. There's nothing like civil servant. Because when you say civil servant, all right, is it the gate man in the federal secretariat, or is he, or what do you call the head of service? Both of them are civil servants. You have somebody. What do you desire? I'm a banker. Yeah, you are working in a bank. You go to work 7 in the morning. You come back late in the evening. But that's not, you just work in a bank. Now, I'm bringing out something. When you talk to a banker, there's a way a banker should talk. And you're not talking like that. And your interest is not in it. So where you work is not what I'm talking about as your identity. I mean, what do you do? Who are you? If something comes up, all right, I was talking to a senior brother in the Lord, yesterday, okay, and something came up, and he said that one day he was in his office, and a local government chairman came up to his office and said, "Good morning, sir. We need you to consult for us on this particular project." And he looked at him and listened. That's why I said, all this one run up and down, begging people for favor. You have not yet been favored by God. He told me something which was instrumental. I spent some time talking with him yesterday afternoon. I was really blessed by it. He said that he sat down, the man entered his office. And he looked at them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They described the project. He said, "Who told you to come here? I didn't come to your local government to come and beg for a job." And they said that they went to the bank to finance the project. And the bank said, we are tired of failures of this kind of projects around. Therefore, if you want us to finance this project, we only accept to do that if you choose this particular man as your consultant." So he looked at them and said, "Hey, is that the issue?" They said, "Yes." He said, "Right, before we talk, my first fee is ₦1 million. So they left to go and bring ₦1 million cash. They gave it to him. He put it down. "Fine, let's talk some more." So he began to discuss with them. Gave them his full terms and everything. Of course, they had to agree. The project was hanging on him. Finally, after the bank looked at everything. He was now in the NASA. Okay, we agreed to fund the project, but you have to be a signatory to the account. And he said, no, that's not part of the deal. They told the people, sorry, the deal is off. Listen to me. He's a Christian. They know him as a man of integrity. They said, if you don't sign any check, we won't honor it. Why? He said, that's the only way we know our money is safe and is going to the right places. All this one jumping from one place to the other, begging for favors. You have not yet established your identity. That's what the problem is. He was in his office. He said that was how he became a consultant on that project. He was in his office. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Of course, that one, he could charge them the way he felt was good and just and holy and righteous and profitable. The last word, very important. Profitable. You understand the logic? The reason is simple. Because, see, if he doesn't agree, this project is not going anywhere. But why did that happen? Please, that's my story, first of all. It's because over time, he had established an identity for himself. That number one, I'm a professional in this area. And I'm a righteous man in doing what I am doing. I've told you, if you want to, as a child, you see, the principles I teach are for children of God. They are matters of the kingdom of God. I hope you're following what I'm saying. The principles are for what? Or for who? The children of God. I'm not, don't tell me stories of how one unbeliever did this thing. It's not my business. This is why children of God fail. They don't know what they are doing, and nobody knows what they are doing. Do you get my point? People should know what you do and who, when to call you. It's a nonsense life that anything goes. You get to the place where they are building, suddenly you become a building contractor. No, I'm serious. Let me tell you, in life, you have to be careful. Listen, please. You must not let the world frame you. God formed you in a particular way. Don't let the fact that your uncle became a minister change your identity. I told about my friend who is bosom friend. Became the governor of maybe the richest or the second richest state in Nigeria. And his friend called him and said, where are you? He said, this is where I am. And the man said, look, come to Lagos. We have issues. We have work to do. And I told him, sorry, I'm a pastor in Enugu. I can't come. Please, I hope you get what I'm going to explain. Now, so he told me something. He said, I'm not going to change my life, all right, because of somebody's 4 or 8 years in office. You know, an average person, you go and testify, praise the Lord. No, pastor, I said that this year is my year of breakthrough. I said, this is my year of breakthrough. So pastor said, what is your breakthrough now? My friend is now a governor. I thought you were a pastor before. Let me tell you the truth. A lot of people don't know what they are doing. They call themselves Christians. They call themselves preachers. Because we have allowed the world to define for us their success in the amount of money that you have, the amount of connection that you have. That's not what it is. In fact, it is forbidden, all right, for you if you are a minister, that's a preacher, a gospel preacher, to be jumping from one office to the other, especially government office. It's forbidden. My friend told me that this man will call him. Now, this is the interesting part. The man never left him alone. All right? Always trying to do him favors. Always trying to get him to do things for them. But he told me, he said, look, I'm a pastor in Enugu and I'm not going to change my life. That's the point I want you to understand. Because somebody won an election. But most of us know what, of course, you know the way it is. Praise God, the pastor. The Lord is good. You will be hearing from me. You know what you are hearing from me? That once I begin to make the money, I will increase the size of your offering. Let me tell you the truth. Listen, I believe, you know, like we always say, this is Kingdom World Ministries. It's funded by free will donation. So, as a preacher, I should like free will donations. Don't you think so? Yeah, all these things we are saying, we are doing, we are going on this, we are doing that, is costing money. And how's the money coming? The last time I saw God rain naira from heaven, I wasn't born that time, all right? So, I've never seen it. That's what I'm making. So, it is people that give money. But you see, that I said something to my wife the other day. I was here, I said it. That for some people, their offering is a sin unto God. That as they are dropping the money in the offering basket, God said, he has come again, dirty guy. He is soiling my work. Yeah, you see, we think that once you give to God, he is happy. And that's nonsense. God checks the spirit behind what you are giving. He doesn't just say the money has arrived. So the mistake we make, we think that, okay, Now, don't worry. Once I go to make the money, do you understand my point? I will come and give them. That means that what I did is the correct thing. Listen to me. You have sold your identity thinking that you can buy, you know what I mean? Buy validity, let me put it like that, before God with money. Listen, your identity is more important than that money. And let me tell you something about God. God always emphasized something. He said, if I were hungry, would I tell you? You know what that means? He's emphasizing for you to understand that certain things are secondary to this, our so-called offering. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? He said, if I were hungry, what did he say? I wouldn't tell you. Now, the people he was talking to, he had commanded and concerning offering. So he was receiving offerings from their hands. And in fact, he said that, look, the offering you are giving is good. But there are things that are more important than what you are doing. Do you get my point? With God, your identity is very, very important. Not that today, what was it? Okay, oh, look, this man is a... He's a pastor. So his friend has become a governor. So he has abandoned pastoring. Please, what I'm saying, I hope it's clear to you. I hope you are getting, you are following it. In the same manner, one day, I'm sure you see things like that every day. But let me just explain this. This man I was talking to yesterday made another statement. Very, very true. He said, I tell people all the time, go for skill. Yeah, in fact, that's why we got into that story. He said, go for skill. Stop going for money. Go for skill. If you find your skill in life, the same thing I'm saying. Identity. If you find your skill in life, money will find you. He said, go for skill. Identify what you can do. Do it very well. Sharpen your skill. And I quoted for him. I told him, I said, sir, what you are saying is exactly what Robert Kiyosaki said in his book. Robert Kiyosaki said, don't, you know the man, read that poor dad. He said, don't work for money. Work to learn. Let everything you are doing be a process of fine-tuning your person. The time will come, all right, when money will be chasing you up and down. That's how he told his story of how he sat in his office and people walked in. And listen, that's how he gets jobs. That's how he gets contracts. Not by running up and down, but because he has established an identity, people know who he is. You know, people, there's one stupid thing that we do. I refer to it several times. A man is working in a particular office today. Tomorrow, another office opens. And then they pay more money. He doesn't ask himself, do I want to do what they are doing? There are a lot of salespeople in town who don't know how to sell anything. I remember when Glo came for all these GSM companies, when they arrived. You know, listen, if you don't establish yourself in something, people will fit you into any place they like. You know, I told you last time, I said, God, you ain't going to kill me for somebody else's iniquity. You know, Uzzah died because God was angry with David. I said, God, it will not happen to me in the name of Jesus Christ. Job has servants. They killed them. And they said Job was the one being tempted. What about the dead man? So I said, dear Lord, there's a reason. If you don't establish, people will put you in certain places. When the GSM companies came into Nigeria, then what did they do? So as to move their products, they went into the pharmaceutical companies to hire staff. And I was surprised initially, what is going on? They said, and that's true. I have a lot of friends from university who are pharmaceutical people. All right? They're pharmacists. They work in the pharmaceutical industry. And I realized that they were the people that did the best sales training in the country. A farm rep, most of them went into pharmacy, into those companies, worked as farm reps. They had to be able to go and sell their drugs in hospitals. They had to be able to go and convince the doctors to prescribe this particular group of drugs. Therefore, the pharmaceutical companies spent money training their staff. And when the GSM companies arrived, they said they needed salespeople. They didn't go to the street to go and look for anybody. They went into the pharmaceutical companies to pick the sales staff that they had taught. People were abandoning M&B, GlaxoSmithKline, Bicham, all those companies, abandoning them rapidly to pick up jobs in MTN, Glo, then Econet. But trust Banky, I've always been somebody that said, you're either a pharmacist or you're not. For some people, it's okay. They were salespeople. They were never pharmacists. Yeah, for some people, they were always salespeople. I have a friend. We were in university together then. One day told me I left the farm company where I was working and I'd gone to a telecom company. I looked at him and said, oh boy. And he caught the long story. He didn't last 1 year. After some time, I asked him, what happened? I said, nah, but I realized that was a mistake. He's back to pharmacy. Look, no, really, because the guy is a pharmacist. He's a salesperson. He's very, very skilled in sales, selling. But look, say, what I know how to sell is drugs. Now he's a big man. When I say for his company, he's like the head of I think, is that for the whole of sub-Saharan Africa. He's the head of like their new product marketing. That's the way he described it. He's a big man now. How did he, if you see the way he was promoted each time, it's because of the skill he demonstrated each time he had to do something. If I want to explain, but what we do today, you're an artist. Tomorrow, you work in one bank somewhere. The following day, you left the bank, you now work in MTN. After that, now you are the chief confidential secretary because it's an oil company. You're suddenly a secretary. That is, all of a sudden, you're a secretary. After a while, even God doesn't know where to find you when he needs you. He looks around and says, where is this guy? They don't know. Nobody knows. I mean, we're confused as to where he is. He has no identity. I mean, in life, no. You see, I'm not talking about where you work. I hope you know what I'm going to say. It's not where you work I'm talking about. It's what you do in the place where you work. And that's what's most important. If you were the chief technical officer today in one bank, and tomorrow you go along that line to another company, we will understand that. But not that today, you are counting cash. The following day, you are trying to persuade somebody to buy a new phone. The day after that, you are the chief egg distributor for one big farm that just started. That's not life. You won't make it in life like that. You won't. That's how unbelievers try to make it. Yeah. The Lord is good. But what will Paul say every time he writes, Paul, an apostle, a born servant of Jesus Christ. You get what I'm going to say? Everybody knew what he was. Everywhere you go, people should be able to tell. Listen, I like one thing Mike Murdock used to say. He said, if your friends don't know your passion, you don't have one. People should be able to say, this is what this man stands for. This is what he represents. If you want this thing, don't call this person. You see, after all this one idea, how did they ask me for bribe and all of that? You don't have any skill yet. I'm saying you are still a mediocre. That's why people are still negotiating bribe with you. That's why you have not been able to walk out of them, knowing that you will not starve. You are still one of the crowd. Are you getting my point? You have not established one thing for yourself. You see, when people, you know you are blessed when people start calling you. I'm not calling you because you're a jaguda like them. You know, they call jaguda. Rogue. They know that this man, it is sort. So they call, they say, oh, but the job now 1 million. You call in 6 million. You take 2, the rest of us share. And now I'm talking about righteous calling. They want something good done. They call somebody. Are you following what I'm going to explain? People are not so concerned, if you get my point, about this thing, establishing a name for the day of God. I told you several times, a good name. That's what I talk about identity. Everybody must have a name. That's why I said, don't ever, look, maybe you want to buy a product. You get there, you see Sony, plasma TV or LCD TV. They tell you it's 285,000. Somebody say, look at this one. The name is ABC Co. He said, which one is that one? He said, it's also good. How much is it? He said, 120,000. So both of them are 40 inch now. How come one is double the price of the other? Somebody will tell you, it's just name. Only a Satan says things like that. You know what I said? There is nothing like name being just. You know, those days, I used to hear that one movie that they paid one actor $20 million for a movie. Like now, wow. What's the name of a Pretty Woman? Julia Roberts. She was earning $20 million per movie. And I would look like, what? Najaz? What's going on? Because I wasn't into movies much. Then after a while, I realized something. That if you wanted to know whether a movie was good or bad, 95% you'll be correct. Just identify the people who acted in it. So that's what I said. So you see that you could tell, alright? Most of the time, you can tell whether a film is good by watching the kind of name. You what I'm explaining. Or people have tried to misuse that. In Nigeria, there was a time they showed one movie, they put one of the most famous actresses in Nigeria on it, and she was the only human being there. Everybody else, you wonder whether they are goat or cow. They did that. That is because that's when evil people start, you know, misusing something. So I know there can be misuse of name under such circumstances. But generally, name is not just. It's not just. It's not just. There is something behind the name. But what I want to preach to you today is for you to make a name for yourself by locating the place of your skill. And one more thing, be patient while you develop it. Do you get my point? It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. I said what the world tries to do for us is to quickly force us into a place by making it appear glamorous and money producing. We quickly want to rush into something. At the end of the day, all of us become what? Non-entities in there. Mediocres. Nothing outstanding. I realize the way God has done life, there's nobody. That is, God has enough room for everybody to be outstanding in life. You know, it will look like it's not possible that you have billions of people, that some people must just be average. Believe me, it is not necessarily like that. I like the way Miles Morrow said it. He said, there are many stars in heaven, and all of them shine. All. There's no star in heaven that does not shine. And there are plenty. Are you getting my point? Of course. You see, the problem is that we think that everybody must know me as the richest man in the world, and my name is Bill Gates. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. I like one thing, one brother said one day we were in church. That day I finished ministry, and he was so blessed by my ministry. All right? And he now made a statement that I never heard until that time. He said one day they asked a young boy, who's the richest man in the world? The boy said, Daddy. Who's the richest man in the world? He said, Daddy. He said, his reason? He has never heard of Bill Gates. Bill Gates has never bought him anything. Never heard of Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett has never bought him anything. If he needs a new uniform, Daddy buys it. If he needs food, Daddy buys it. If he needs a new toy, Daddy buys it. Daddy provides the house, drives him everywhere he wants to go. So as far as he's concerned, the richest man in the world is who? Daddy! What I want to say, you are somebody's richest man. Did I hear an amen? To some people, in fact, that what he said was that he said, I bless him so much that there's no name they want to name on the earth as big minister. That is the person's problem. That as far as concerned, the biggest minister in the world is Pastor Mark. That I just finished preaching. What I'm going to explain. All right? To some people, to certain areas, to the place that God has called you to, you will shine and you will have a name. Are you getting my point? So that's the point I want to understand. That's introducing this thing about the matter of identity. In life, we must have an identity. Talking about your skill, if you are going to make it in life, you are going to be successful. In your early days, the first thing you do is to establish an identity for yourself. Don't go around just looking for any job because it pays money. Please, there is something about not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is that thing? Don't let the world tell you what is important. Are you getting my point? Don't let them use money to drive you up and down. You know, today I was thinking, well, a few days ago, we were analyzing what, my wife just came back from Lagos. So we're discussing what Lagos is becoming like, you know. And he said that the governor is trying to do something serious there, breaking down some houses, trying to make the road to Badagry, five lanes each on one side, all right? Five lanes, that's 10 lanes total, so that people can start living in Badagry. So I asked myself, why is everybody in Lagos safe? Lagos is so densely populated. Why is everybody going there? I'll tell you, the reason is simple. There are many things to say, but one of the reasons which I want to bring up because of the interest that we have tonight in our teaching is that everybody thinks that's where money is. There are a lot of people who are there because that's where they're supposed to be. But most that are there because people say it's a land of opportunity. They're looking for opportunity. Look, I'm like my father Abraham. You understand what I explain? Yes, I go to where God says, go here to the land I want to show you. And when I get there, my spirit will create something good in that land. I am the opportunity the land is looking for. You don't get the point. I tell you that, you see Enugu as they develop. It's not by chance. You know why it's like that? Banky came. Okay, you can laugh if you want. You can laugh. You can laugh if you want, but that's how I look at life. That's how I look at life. Say, God, good, very good. That Lord, now we can drive nice cars and our axles no good, they fall apart every day. Believe me. No, this is how Nigeria will develop. This is how this country will develop, because you and I are present. Are you getting my point? That you and I are the opportunities that this land is looking for. We are not the one looking for the land of opportunity. Many people have gone to lands of opportunities, and they have discovered that it's a land of opportunity for success and for failure. That there are those who come here and they succeed. There are those who go there and they fail. Totally. A friend of mine, colleague, was telling me many years ago about one day his uncle had been in, I think, US or Europe for a very, very long time. One day the man just showed up at home with a briefcase. You know what I said? He showed up with what? That briefcase, everything he had. Don't think he just traveled. And what is the issue? I have come home. By that time, he was 50-something. What's going on? I have come home. Having been in America for a very long time, I said, I have come home. And I love Africa. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank God we are not white people, though. Because as soon as they arrive, a few weeks later, they don't marry wife for her. We know they waste time. They don't marry wife for her. We know there was no wasting time. The elders gathered. They didn't care that I came from America. They gathered, say, okay, now that our son has come back. I love Africa. Our son has returned. You know the way we do it? It will not be good for us to say they didn't leave a child in this world. So, nah. You know, that's how we make home movies now. That's it, though. They don't begin to arrange. Before you know what's happening, they don't gather money, pay bride price, bring the woman, come, this is your wife. As far as they are concerned, idiots, in their minds, before you die, born one picking. Maybe that one will do well. that's what they are thinking about. I've seen it happen before. I've seen it happen. The one is that, look, your life is just a your nonsense life. So we'll extract the few good things remaining inside your soul, put it inside your offspring. Maybe they will be able to bless somebody. Now, the point I'm making is that the man went to a land of opportunity. And he showed up with what? Nothing. To the child of God, there's no land of opportunity. You are a person of opportunity. You were blessed by God. The Bible says you were blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Like I like to say all the time, your life is not an accident. You were born on purpose. There's a reason why God fashioned you and made you the way you are. And listen to me, as long as you follow him, it's not possible in life that your light will not shine. It's not possible. Listen, one of the things that you must bear in mind, all right, as a child of God, to help you in life, listen to this, you will never be poor, you will never lack, listen to me, you will not die young. Take those things for granted. Are you getting what I'm saying, please? Listen, my children will not lack. That one I'm sure of. And it makes it easy for me not to worry about tomorrow. That's what the word of God does for us. That's what the promises of God, that's what they do. They give you assurance. They put you at rest so you can do what you are supposed to do. Do you get the point? So what will happen to my children? I know what will happen to them. You want me to tell you? Goodness and mercy, it will follow them all their lives. Look, I say every time, there are many reasons why I do what I do. There are many reasons. One, I love God, but is it that I love God thing? It doesn't have too much meaning. I'm sorry, I hope you will understand. It is not as if you shouldn't love God, but God said, don't say you love me when you have not loved the person that you can see. So when you want to define the love of God, all right, you put it on people. If you love God, it will manifest that you want, like the man I was telling you yesterday, he said he has three things he wants to do on this earth. None of them was called, I want to love God. So the first thing, he wants to help young men develop. The second thing, all right, he wants to alleviate poverty as much as possible. And the third thing, he wants each person to be able to own his own house as much as God gives him the ability. That's what is called love of God. So what am I saying? I say, I love God, yes, one of the reasons why I do what I do. All right, but let me give you some of the earthly manifested reasons why I do what I do. One of the reasons is because I want my children to be blessed. Do you hear what I said? One of my reasons is what? I want my children to be blessed. I don't want it to happen that my children are not blessed. So I will serve God even if he breaks my back. Are you getting my point? I will obey him even if it pains my flesh. I want my children to be blessed. But I'm not going to do it by, you know, okay, let us now buy stocks. You hear what happened in the Nigerian banking sector yesterday? One of the five top banks or six top banks in Nigeria, they dissolved the whole board, sacked all the MDs. You know what that does to share prices? I should go and share today to a nosedive. Somebody asked me on the phone, a friend of mine, said, what do you make of that? I said, it's called all flesh is grass. It's called what? All flesh is grass. It means you can't trust in anything. What am I going to explain? Listen, in life, you will never beg. You will never like that. Hear an amen. I'm saying assuredly, if your heart is focused on doing the will of God in life, then most certainly it shall be well with you. Now, if you understand that, then you can really do what is right. You establish your identity according to the will of God without being afraid of failure. You're supposed to be a teacher. They told you that they don't ever become rich. All that nonsense. I remember then when I told some people that I'm finishing my residency training, I'll go and start working in a university. They look at me like, this guy doesn't want to be rich in his life. But believe me, there's a friend of mine, he calls me, we'll talk. I said, don't worry, I'm always getting richer. I said, I'm always getting richer. And I don't blame them, physically speaking. Then those were the days professors were going home shortly before that time with 6,000, 8,000 naira a month. It went up to me 12,000. And these were professors. You now wake up and say, you want to go and teach again. Ah, they will look at you that, are you a glutton for punishment? You look at them and say, look, are you a glutton for punishment? What is wrong with this man? Because they think that your supplies, listen, when we say our supplies come from heaven, we don't mean that God rains, you know, money from heaven. Listen, what we mean is that when we need stuff, God will arrange events to fit exactly what we are supposed to have. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Yes, that's what it means. It means God will arrange events. Listen to me, your life, oh God, I don't know why I just feel like saying that one today. Your life, in your life, you will never fail. Listen, you will not beg for food. Listen, it won't happen that when you are 50, you are still calling people, begging them to lend you money to pay your children's school fees. It won't happen. It won't happen. The path of the just is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Your light will shine brighter. Please get that, settle it in your mind. There is nothing on earth that can hinder you. I don't know how many times I have to say this. There's nothing. There's nothing on the earth that can hinder you from succeeding. There's nothing on the earth that can hinder you from prospering. That is a matter of fact. That is the will of God. Why am I saying that? When you have understood that, then you can wake up and say, good, now that I know that, let me settle and decide what I'm supposed to be. Am I supposed to be a preacher? Then let me preach. Let me be known for what I am. In life, you must have an identity. Paul will say, Paul, an apostle, he was known for it. He was known by it. People, when they thought about apostleship, their mind went straight to Paul. When the name Paul was spoken, instantly their mind went to certain places. They said, this is what this man does. And as you are growing in life, as a young man, as a young woman, one of the things that you must first establish for yourself is a name, an identity by which people recognize you. So that when they want something done, they may not be near you. As long as they say that thing, your name pops up in their hearts. I hope you get my point. All right, that's just an introduction. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right. The first thing I'm going to start, what I've just explained is just to help us to understand something physically, all right? But then let's bear in mind, identity is on two levels, spiritual and then the outward earthly one. And I said the more important one is what? The spiritual one. And that is what I'm going to develop in details, and that's what I'm going to begin with. Now, before I even go into that, one of the first things I want us to understand is the sources of identity. Where do we get our identity from? Because, let me say this again, if you don't recognize your own person, nobody will recognize you. Are you following my point? Let me say it again. If you don't know who you are, now knowing who you are is different from pride. Do you get my point? Should I say that again? Knowing who you are is different from being proud. Pride and recognizing your identity, they are two different things. That was why Jesus never was ashamed to say things that people thought was a matter of pride. For example, he will tell you, I am the light of the world. Now, no, listen, that's big. Alright? Either you are the light of the world or you are crazy. If you make that kind of statement, either you are the light of the world or you are out of your mind. I am the bread that came down from heaven. Your fathers rejoiced to see my day. Listen to me. If that guy was not really the savior of the world, they should have stoned him to death. There are statements you should not make. Are you getting my point? A man wakes up and decides that, look, without me, you can do nothing. You're either the savior of these people, or you should see a doctor. No, listen, there's no other way. The problem is when you are not their savior. Do you understand my point? Yet you are telling them, without you, they can do nothing. That's why Paul said, each person, Romans chapter 12, should not think highly of himself, what's the next line? Than he ought to think. That there is a level that you are supposed to think of yourself. And we'll discuss as we go on. How to think of yourself correctly. But the point is that you must think of yourself in a particular way. So knowing your identity is different from pride. Pride is when you think of something as having come out from yourself because you are better than other people. Do you understand my point? Humility is knowing your place in life and living like you are there. Do you get what I'm going to explain? That's humility. That's humility. That you see, being able to appropriately rate yourself. Yes, that's humility. It's not to think of yourself less than you really are. Oh, please, I hope you are following my point. What I'm saying is very, very important. Now, so I was saying that it's not a matter of pride. So Jesus will say confidently, I am the light of the world. You are supposed to know what exactly that you are. All right? That's why we're talking about the sources of identity. How do people determine exactly what they are? Let me say this to you again. We read from Acts chapter 19. This is very important. The way life responds to you, let me say clearly, the way life responds to you is dependent upon your perception of yourself. Let me say one more time. Life will respond to you according to your own perception of yourself. Now, let me say, qualify that. Your true perception, not your false perception. If you wrongly perceive yourself, what you will meet is failure. I like the way Bishop Oyedepo used to say, he says, like wearing an oversized cap that covers your face. You can't see straight. You can't see properly. Is that okay? Now, please, but having put that one aside, if you don't understand who you are properly, life will not give to you what you are supposed to have. I was discussing with my wife today. Or was it yesterday? Anyway, we're always talking. My wife and I were always talking. I think I know why. We live in the same room. That must be the reason, all right? Now, we're describing some things, all right, about people. I don't know how I have a friend. One day I told a fellow that if I tell him that, look, do this, he said, Pastor, you know I don't have money now. Now, my friend is a highly placed professional. Let me summarize it like that. Who earns exactly the same amount of money I earn. Naira for naira. And a little bit more, depending on how things are. But let's leave those extras here and there. All right? Me too, I get a little bit here and there. So let's put everything together. Let's say we generally anybody the same amount of money. But the song I hear from his mouth all the time is, I don't have money. If he sees me, maybe, let's assume for example now, maybe I'm wearing a new tie and the tie is fine. Say, ah! He calls me pastor. Say, ah, pastor, your tie is fine. Oh. I say, ah, it's very nice. Oh. I say, you should buy something like this. Say, ah, you know I don't have money now. So one day I told him, I said, come, this year I don't have money. I hear it like 8 times in one day. And for you as a child of God, your confession is your possession. As I hope you understand that, that you are rendering yourself poor by constantly telling me I don't have money. The more you say it, the more you yourself hear it, the more you hear it, the more you believe it. And may I not say amen to you, I don't have money. Let me not help you, because if two of you shall agree. He said, okay, it's true. You stop saying it. I said, you better stop saying it. I'll tell you the truth about life. I told you everything has value. Faith is the greatest wealth that I personally have. Do you hear what I said? I, Banky, my greatest possession is my faith. Now, I don't mean, that's not a philosophical statement. That's not a feel-good statement. That's a real statement. I feel it every day. I live it every day. I walk by it every day. A lot of people think I have plenty money, more than I really have. But believe me, I'm a favored man. And a man who's not afraid of tomorrow. I believe very solidly that sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Therefore, I spend the amount of money that people who have four times what I have spent. People think I'm on their side. They don't know. My faith makes up for the balance. What do I mean? You're afraid of tomorrow. I'm not. You have laid up your treasure for your children's education. Me, I haven't. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. So if you and I get 50,000 naira, you take 25,000 naira to lay off for something, take another one to lay off for another, you have to build a house in a village. I don't give a damn. I don't start building a house in any village until I have money to build it in 12 months. So Pastor Baba, what are you going to do? Listen to me. This is where, that's where my faith is. That's what my faith is. My faith is that one day I will start building January 1st. By December 31st, I pack in. And it will be the most beautiful house you have ever seen. Now, I am not afraid that it will not happen. Did you hear what I said? I am not afraid that it will not happen. I said, that is what is called favor. I said, I have favor that grace is multiplied towards me. I don't know whether you get, but what I say? Grace is what? Multiplied towards me. And I expect it every day. And I live like it. Therefore, a man come and say, you know, I don't have money. Now listen to me. There are statements you don't hear from my mouth. And therefore, God honors me and blesses me. And it's one of his joys to glorify his son. I don't know whether I get the point. The problem God has with a lot of us is that we don't give him the cause to make, we don't give him the cause to be happy, that he might pour glory upon us. We are too afraid. I told my friend, it's enough. Stop telling me I don't have money. Do you realize you and I, don't even think, you know, we start making excuses for other people's blessings. You start accruing, I mean, a man saw me once. You know, I had the proofs of our book from the press with me. Those are tiny books. Prophesy, the righteousness of God. Those small, small. I was producing in a hurry then. So, I was bringing up from my car. He said, Oga, I got you today. I said, about what? Now I know where your money is coming from. Were it not for real righteousness of God, I would have shot him. Except, of course, I didn't have a gun. All right? What do I mean by that? To print those books at that particular point in time, I had to pray. Now, you don't have a mind. That God will return my money quickly because I didn't have it. Now, listen now. Because you know the way it is. The first books we printed, the law of life, here on purpose, and the blessing. Number one, we paid for 1,000 copies each of three books. We got a total of 2,300 or 2,400 copies or so. I still paid the money complete. Of the ones we got, a lot of them were poorly printed. We were overcharged. Well, we paid more than would have been fair. And on top of all of that, we couldn't even sell them. I mean, people need to know you to buy your book. So we have sold some, and we have recovered some money. Not much, a little bit. And I said, I'm not putting my money into printing. That first set, I put every cobble into it myself. I'm not putting my money into printing more books, but I wanted to go for a convention, and I said, these books will bless my brethren. To have the four new mini books printed, I needed to put 50,000 naira extra. And listen, it wasn't nice. I didn't feel good about it. I felt like God losing. You suppose, you know, at least, you know, it's not like we're making money from this. Just return money so we can do some more things. Now, listen. But God was kind. God was kind. Of the new books that we sold, we printed, we sold exactly 50,000 naira worth in about 1 month. And then the sales shut down again. Listen, God ensured that he just returned my money like I requested him to. Now, but this was what I was doing when a man walked up and said, now I see where your money is coming from. And you know, thank God I'm not working for man. Otherwise, that denial for stop to the work. That this thing that's draining me, the one I put in, is still locked in there. And I never really got it out again. What are you telling me? Why? Because he looked, he said, oh, guy, you see the shine. Your money must be coming from somewhere. You want to know the truth? I'm a blessed man. That has nothing to do with financial resources. I told him, I said, I'm a favored man. My favor has material value. Please, I'm bringing out an issue here. It's how you understand, how you identify yourself, that life responds to you. You go around bowing down your head like you're a pauper. You know, I'm an African now. You know, in Africa, we are poor. In Nigeria, we are poor. Listen to me. You, may you never see poverty. Did I hear an amen? Mm-hmm. You have not seen poverty. I was telling somebody that, look, this one, you heard me talk about Muhammad Yunus and the work he did in the Grameen Bank. And I said, it can't work in Enugu. He said, why? I said, the depth of poverty's handling does not exist here. The money is lending people and they are rejoicing over it. Beggars make it every day in Nigeria, in Enugu. I'm not joking about it. Okay, let me not even sound as if I'm being superfluous. Okay, let's leave that. But one thing I'm sure of is in a week, the beggars make it. So you never see poverty. You know, I'm a poor person. Poor my foot. There are statements you don't hear from my mouth. The days I was earning 5,000 naira a month, when I didn't used to go anywhere because it was expensive to go around anyhow. You know that. To stay in my house most of the time. Yet, I remember. No, let I'm telling you the truth. God is my witness. When people say, how are you? My answer always was, life is good. And LG had not begun to sell in Nigeria at that time. Before LG began to shout, life is good, Banky used to say, it was my answer to people. Life is good. Went to wear decent shirts, we had to buy them second hand. My answer to everybody was, life is good. I told my friends, look at the phone you are using, 3310. How will your patient respect you? I don't know what I get what I'm saying. See, as you, I said, even thief won't steal this one from your hand. He said, Pastor, you know I don't have money. I said, you tell me this thing so many times. He said, Pastor, are you talking about showing off with phone? That's not the point. You can't even program your agenda, your program on a phone. This is 2009. And you're supposed to be a specialist. What does this say of your information level? He said, you know, I don't have. I said, my friend, please stop telling me you don't have money. I'm tired of hearing it. I told my wife, I said, you won't be that this man and I are on the same level, the same scale, we earn the same amount of money every month. What am I saying? That's how life responds to you, how you see yourself. God taught that me that one long ago. It began from the day I read Isaiah chapter 6, verse 12. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Even when I couldn't see it, I believed it, and I still believe it till now. And that is why I fully understand what they mean when they say, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. A lot of people go around like beggars and paupers in times because they are laying up treasure for tomorrow. They are putting it in a place where thieves break in and steal. Thieves are on to break in and steal. There's no thief that can break and steal anything from me that I can't recover from immediately. I know what I'm saying. It's not because I have so much money, but because for me, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I remember those people say, lay up my money, it's much more. You'll be able to buy this car. I said, after how long? This is real suffering. I said, a car is supposed to be pleasure. How do I go through pain to arrive at the point of pleasure? By the time you add the pain and the pleasure, you're back to zero. I said, no. I said, when I will have gone through all of this, and the thing were to catch fire, what's going to happen? I'll start crying. As God is my witness, if my car catches fire today, I will not cry. That's how I live my life. Life responds to how you identify yourself. I said, no, I'm not a poor man. I'm not a poor man. I don't care who my father was or who my grandfather was, where I come from, where I don't come from. I told the story several times. And God, look, it's such a beautiful illustration. That's why I keep on telling the story. Then I went to the American embassy. People say, well, pack money in your account, pack money in your account. I say that's an insult. I'm not packing money in any account. I'm not begging you. When I gave the ladies my paper, she saw my bank balance. She folded her hands and exhaled like, wow. She did like this. I said, God, please understand. I'm not lying to you what I'm telling you. This was a woman who had been denying everybody visas in front of us. I said, what is the problem? God is my witness. I said, what's the problem? She said, your balance is too low. And I remember, as God is my witness, what I told her. I said, you asked me whether it was a salary account. And I said, yes. I earned the money through it and I spend it. I said, I only brought it here to show you that I work. She looked me. I I said, if you are wondering who's going to pay for the trip, I told you before, it's a sponsored trip. Who's sponsoring? The fellow said, don't people read the forms to tell us to fill? I gave her the papers again. It's sponsored. It's a course I'm going for, fully paid for. Costing the people, between the sponsors and my CMD, they were giving me $4,500. How much money else do I need? Grant the visa, my money will appear in my account tomorrow. The woman looked at me, we thought after a while. I said, okay, come back and collect the visa on Tuesday. I said, fine. I said, after I announced, look, let's tell you the truth. We've been looking at you since. He said, so you are the one that's been killing everybody. No, I'm serious. We now began to chat about it. She now made a statement. She said that, well, you know, there's no big deal about it, actually, if you are genuine. He said, you can see it's not difficult if you are genuine. So I looked at her and said, how do you know I'm genuine? It was a question I asked. She didn't have an answer. She just said, well, I guess I just believe you. Yes, you have to believe me because from my soul is radiating the confidence of God. I didn't come here as a beggar. The man walked in before me. 4 million naira he put in his bank account. The woman asked him a simple question. He said, you said you were a civil servant. Where do you get 4 million naira from? Well, you know that one brother accidentally paid 70,000 naira for Kingdom World Ministries into my private account. I would have gone with an account balance of like 5,000 naira in one of my accounts. And I didn't care. Plus the accidental put and plus everything together. My balance not cross 200k. What am I trying to explain? I said simply, that's what I'm trying to explain to you. I said, number one, I'm not a beggar. That's from number one. I'm not going to appear before anybody like, help me now. You know, without you, I can do nothing. God said, I am God and there is none else. You know what that means? It means America is not God. I am God and there is none else. It means UK is not God. I am God and there is none else. It means Australia is not God. South Africa is not God. There is no country that is God. Therefore, I won't worship any other God. This is the time that Nigerians say, kill at LK Christians. They treat Nigerians anyhow. I said, they will treat you anyhow. Have you ever seen a beggar in the morning and say, good morning, sir? Think about it for a second. Most beggars on the road, they are older than you. No, so? How many of them have you stopped and said, good morning, sir? He will come to you and Abba Musa and say, excuse me, and you walk up us. And if he's stopping too much, you wind down your window, use your left hand to hand him the 20 naira note. And you're not looking at him. He says, thank you. You don't acknowledge the thank you. Do you know why? He's a beggar. The Bible says it clearly. All that Lazarus wanted from the rich man's table was what? Crumbs. And that's what beggars get. Crumbs. It's real people that life gives substance to. Are you getting my point? You don't want crumbs, you get crumbs. This is the point I'm making. I'm a child of God. Are you getting my point? I'm an anointed child of God. God has a purpose for my life. I've never been a beggar. I will not be a beggar. If I'm not adding value to your life, I won't come back to the place. Sometimes I bother on being arrogant. Sometimes my wife will tell me, relax now. Because there was a time I said, if you come late, I lock you out. Most pastors are begging you to come. It's not in my character. I have never been. Look, listen, my friend, if I'm not blessing you, why should you come? And if I'm blessing you, why should I beg you? Think about it for a second. If I'm not blessing you, what are you doing here? I mean, it's not right. I'll be wasting your time. And if I'm begging you, why should I beg you? If I'm blessing you, why should I beg you? No, that's it. That's it. Only I remember a friend of mine, when I first started working in Enugu, I did a bit of private practice for a while and I stopped. And I stopped because of the time involved and all of that. And one of my friends was my colleagues. He said, okay, yeah, he wants to patronize my private practice. And what would be the cut in the business he brings for me? I told him simply, I don't do cut business. I put my excellence into my work. If you find somebody else that will do it better than me, go there. I won't use a percentage of what I take to entice you. I must be good. If I'm good enough, come. If I'm not good enough, go somewhere else. I told him flat, I don't do cut business. When you go around cowering inside you, that's how the devils won't leave you alone now. All the people are chasing witches around. Witches can never leave them alone. Have you ever seen a man who came to testify? Praise the Lord. Up to the year 2003, witches used to disturb me. But after I prayed, by the time we finished breaking the fast in December, the witches stopped. Have you ever seen that? No. The witches they cast out 2003 is still with them 2009. The demons they were chasing 10 years ago is still being chased every day. They constantly chase the devil away. Why? Because in their spirits, they are not victorious. In their spirits, they are under. And listen, even people that Jesus cast out demons out of, the demons sometimes come back. It doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't know how to cast out demons. He said, how do I know? Jesus himself said it. When you cast out a demon from somebody, he said, the spirit will go around, drive, finding no rest. You go to go and check whether the house is still available. That's why. That's why. But Jesus said something confidently. The prince of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. It was a confident statement. He knew what he was saying. He was not in doubt concerning what he was saying. Life responded to him according to the knowledge of his identity. That was how life responded to him. And all I want to teach in this season. Because there are places people get their identity from. There's a true place, or there are true places you get identity from, and there are the false places. Your source of identity, number one, is the knowledge of your origin and your relationship with God. People try to get their identity from what kind of things, how much money I have. You know that kind of thing? There are preachers, you know, it's very funny. They want to get their identity from who ordained them to ministry. I've seen it before. And I look at him like, okay, so you were ordained by so and so person. How has that affected you? Do you not get my point? What can I see now to show me that this is where you were ordained? We'll discuss that next time. The true source of identity. Where am I? So because you can, if you go, there are people who go, you've seen that kind of joke before. People want to use title, no title. There was someone I used to work in my hospital. One of my senior colleagues. His name was Professor Doctor Doctor. Some of you know who I'm talking about. If you are normal, how do you bear that kind of title? Professor Doctor Doctor. Because you lack confidence in yourself. You want to pass up. Like I got one stupid joker's mail a few days ago. Offering to award me a doctorate. And that doctorate, honoris causa, you know. Honorary doctorate degree. For my contribution to human society and all of that. I say, you a thief. You don't even know my name. The general overseer. Kingdom World Ministries. That's not my ministry anyway. Kingdom World Ministries. Of course, I needed to pay 200,000 naira. Now, I told my wife yesterday we're discussing. I said, do you know that people who will pay? They will pay. They want to bear the title Reverend Doctor because you don't have a word in your mouth. Shakespeare said, roses called by any other name will still smell nice. Call me Joker Janky. I will still bless you with the word of God. Don't call me Pastor Banky. Call me Joker Janky. I'm serious. It won't change what I'm going to say when I get to certain places. You're following the point I'm making. You understand? You want to sell me an honorary doctorate degree. It's those who don't know what they are doing. You will sell such things to. For, even though I didn't even have the natural title, I don't need it. I don't need it. Those are the sources of identity that are false. People want to go and grab title that's not their own. Pentecostal people are very funny. If you have a word, bless somebody, forget the title. Excuse me. And I call you Archbishop or whatever. For your information, in the Bible, the word bishop meant deacon. It didn't mean the overseer of many people. So, no, I'm not angry with title. But if you're a small boy, you're a small boy. Title of bishop has not elevated you. It hasn't. Someone born on TV one day with oversized jacket. No, I'm serious. Two rings on his right hand and one on his left. I can't remember whether I had the Christian by Jericho or not. I can't remember. But he was bouncing up and I said, who's that? They said, Bishop. I said, Bishop what? This boy is not going to even grow up before they collect title. A lot of those things, not all. I'm not saying titles are bad, alright? Titles sometimes they are supposed to describe what you are. Do you understand my point? So that when if I enter a place, they say this is the chief of army staff. Instantly I accord him the respect, alright, that goes with his office. That's what it's supposed to be. That's what confused people do when they don't have confidence in themselves and they have not yet established a true identity. They don't know what God has made them to be. They want to bring down their identity from the nonsense titles they bought with money. But listen, there is a place where you get a title that is real. That's what I'm coming to. A title that is real. And listen, that real one, all right, it reverberates in the realm of the spirit so much that demons will hear your name. And they will say, Jesus will personally recognize. But this man, we have heard of the troubles he has caused us on this earth in demolishing our kingdom and handing him over to his Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you should be going for. Are you getting my point? And if you don't identify that, listen, I like the way Miles Monroe said it. If you don't, there's a way he said that if you don't know who you are, other people will give you their own descriptions. And you must not let that happen in your life. So you don't die as a temptation to another person. I hope you've gotten my point today.